You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Now plug yourself in the ass. It's the time for another Go Plug Yourself podcast.
We're going to start this podcast off by saying that I hate you the most.
What? What did I do, Keith?
I hate you the most.
What did I do, Keith?
This is our second podcast, our second 20 minutes that we're going to spend.
This is my fourth podcast with you, actually.
Yes,
so there
this
you
is
go.
The fourth podcast because one went straight to the recycle bin on account of the fact that...
What happened, Keith?
I understand how our recording equipment works.
And
right,
I said yes, and now here's the question. Why did you believe me? Why did you accept that I was telling
you? Well, because you were like, blah, 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 I've done theater tech and I have microphones and
what
cameras.
What I did, Keith, was I pressed the button on my microphone so the red, or the, sorry, the blue recording light appeared.
It's a red light.
The red recording light appeared.
A lot of people get very, very confused by... Al just pushed his face up against the glass and was super scary. A lot of people get very, very confused by the fact that the red light means not recording. Because in most...
Yeah, what are you talking about? I had the red recording light on, Keith. That's why the last podcast that we did that you're not hearing right now went perfectly.
No, the red light is muting.
Oh! Oh, I'm sorry.
Because unlike every other recording device in history,
okay,
where a red light means on and recording, our recording devices are the opposite.
So what you're saying is really your fault, is basically.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
All right. Still
then.
Your fault.
All right, then. Anyway.
So this is Go Fringe Yourself.
Yes.
Joining me, as always, is our CEO of Fringe Correspondence, Female Walter.
Hello. How you doing, everybody?
Yes.
The best. Your other impersonation was better. You gotta get.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
I'm at a bit of a loss right now. Is that I'm debating on whether repeating the jokes that I did last time that I felt went well, or just breezing past them, knowing that they're not going to succeed nearly as well as they did the first time.
It's true, and like there's other stuff. Like there was some like a lot of weird non sequitur stuff where I was like, I don't really understand how I was talking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, but I definitely did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, reset.
And enjoyed it, but yeah, exactly.
Talked about Chris Gaines.
Yeah, there you go. All this gold lost, Keith.
Wait,
what are we gonna
guys,
do?
This really happened. You guys wanted to reset and start over. And
holy
it
shit, we've done
oh my
it, Keith.
God.
We did it!
We did it. All right, high five.
That was the worst high five.
Yeah,
that'll pick up.
I like
the audio.
Yeah, that's good.
It's because I went left to right. And
you
I had,
did,
I had no
right?
Strength on my left
and
hand.
You certainly weren't looking at the elbow. That was
no,
the other problem.
I think left. I just touched your face.
There you go.
Instead
it's
of a
what
high
you
five.
Actually wanted to do.
Gently caressed your face.
There you go.
Joining us now, once again,
absent
from his rest of his fictitious sketch comedy troupe is Kyle Ladd.
As I stated previously, it is actually just me. I photoshopped in pictures of two other guys that I claimed to be on the show, and then for the show, I just basically I throw my voice and I use a series of masks, and that's basically how the show gets done.
I love that you glue their faces onto cardboard cutouts, but of other things, you're like, that's clearly a cardboard cutout of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's just Tim Diamond's face stuck to it.
Yes. Well, I find the breasts distract the eye, and so therefore you're not thinking so much about how cardboard and cutout he feels, and looking at
Ryan
the fun bags.
Ryan is Boba Fett.
There you go. That's it. It's very easy because I just say that his face is underneath the mask, and therefore you know. Solves
everyone
a little problem of like trying to get that.
It's not even a face on it. It's
yeah, there you go. It's clearly just
body
Boba Fett
with Tim Diamond's face stuck onto it and a cardboard cutout of Boba Fett.
Yeah,
just like,
with Boba Fett's face on it.
Yeah,
so paste it on unnecessarily.
It's very strange. Yeah. And then you do all the sketches.
Yeah, this is basically what the show is.
And you're crippled, so...
I am crippled. Well, this is the thing, but you were asking beforehand about what's different about this show this time versus what we did beforehand.
I never asked that question.
Well, okay, fine. Not anymore,
asking,
you haven't. Yes.
I would like to ask you a question.
Yes, Female Walter.
Sarah's holding a pen, like it's
I'm
a microphone.
Holding.
Yes.
Despite
I'm
having a microphone
it
on her.
I believe that's a journalist move right there.
Yeah.
Tell me.
You're also holding it like a three-year-old holds a fork. Like... I'm not quite sure what that's all about.
She's about to stab you.
I want to stab you. I want to knife fight you in the face. Yep. So how is this show different?
Well, the main difference is that I'm doing the show on with a cane. Neither. Because I ruptured my Achilles tendon 2.5 months ago.
So you're method acting.
He's really just a big hipster and doesn't want anyone to really know that
originally,
he doesn't have a problem.
Originally, I was ironically walking with a cane, and now I'm fully walking with a cane. That
That's
is
what I was
going to
be like. Is the cane the new accessory for summer 2013?
In Alan's size, it is. Hells yes. I tell you this. When I was walking on the crutches, it did make me feel very self-conscious. Now that I've moved to the cane, it's better. I feel pimp. I don't feel like a pimp. I feel pimp.
Okay.
There's this sort of strength that's, you know, there's a certain a pride that you can walk around with a cane. And, you know, you also feel real good, like, in case someone tries to roll you, you can just, you know, whip them out at it.
But
you know?
You're also crippled, so
yes.
Despite having a stick
yes.
to attack, to respond to an attack, you're also in shitty physical shape.
I
so
should
that...
I should point out this is actually a sword cane.
I was gonna say
it's a lot deadlier than you might initially assume. Yeah.
I was gonna ask if there was an amber rock on the top of it with a mosquito that had.
That was the initial model, but then we decided against
the sword game.
Well, I'm trying to avoid any kind of velociraptor attacks, which, as you know, can be quite deadly.
Very deadly.
Yes.
I was gonna say. Yesterday.
They know how to open. Do you have any kind of
I was in the shower yesterday.
Were you?
Showering.
Okay.
Heard a noise from the kitchen. I think it was the pot settling. You know, like when the pots settle that you dry, the clink.
Yeah.
And, I think it was a rock in the terrarium.
Might have been a rock in the terrarium, which we do have a leopard gecko, which I believe is a descendant of the velociraptor.
Or a parrot, I think. Those are also
One or the other.
Yes.
Chickens. Yeah. and I heard a loud noise, and my first thought, most irrational thought ever, was like...
Velociraptor. Yeah, I can tell you that same thing has happened to me on multiple occasions. Because we do know, A, they can open up doors. They're quite intelligent.
Right.
And they hunt in packs, right?
And it wouldn't be beyond them to create a distraction.
Yes.
Like a noise in the kitchen.
Like, for example...
To get one of them right behind you in the shower.
That's what, even if you know it is the pots and pans, it could still be the velociraptors.
Exactly.
Creating a distraction.
They just, rattle the pots and pans so that I get distracted momentarily. Yeah. Another velociraptor comes behind me in the shower.
There you go.
And then it's like, makes that little like...
Are they afraid of water, though? I think the movies didn't explore that, did they?
I don't think they're afraid of water.
I don't understand why any dinosaur would be afraid of water.
I don't
know. Like,
maybe they're like those aliens at the end of Signs, you know? The very irrational aliens that are somehow affected by moisture in the air.
This planet is 80% something that is poison to us.
Yes.
Let's try to inhabit it.
Yes. And we'll do that by leaving these Led Zeppelin-type, you know, sigils in cornfields. Somehow. I don't know. I can't remember how that related to the story at all.
It would be like humanity just being like, oh, this planet is 80%, like, acid.
Yes.
Let's try to live there and take it over. how did this go wrong?
It's basically like trying to conquer Venus, right?
Yeah.
You know, where it's 450 degrees Fahrenheit and the clouds are made of ammonia gas.
Yeah.
So it's...
My only, I don't want to, I really don't even want to lend any credibility to the film Science. But my only thought is that perhaps they had, and this doesn't make any sense from what we know about the universe, but if somehow the aliens had never before encountered water.
Right.
So it was like outside of their, like, knowledge.
What do they drink then, Keith?
They don't drink.
Acid.
They drink acid. I see.
But exactly, it doesn't make any sense in terms of how chemicals work, and we know that there's fucking water and ice all over the place. But if the aliens had never encountered water,
it's just something
they had no sensors to even sense.
What is this hydrogen and oxygen here that's the most abundant thing in the entire universe?
It's, exactly. They'd never seen it. They're like, it burns!
Yeah.
You know, it was just sort of like, if we...
It is somewhat of a fatal flaw that the most abundant compound in the universe happens to be something that these aliens have never encountered.
Exactly.
Like, interstellar beings of...
The most fucked up part about that is that, is it War of the Worlds where it's the common cold?
It's either that or chicken pox or like something like that.
Yeah. Chicken pox.
Whatever it is.
I might be mixing it up with the Martian Chronicles because they're very similar stories. Yeah. Yeah.
Either way, that stuff makes sense to me because it's conceivable that this virus
doesn't exist. You never encounter that. Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
And it's like it's a whole allegory to polio.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. But that makes sense. But you're like, but water? Like one of the basic compounds of the universe? Nope.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy our show then. That has a lot of references to 90s movies that people don't really speak about anymore. So, there you go.
How many references do you have to the film Powder?
Oh, you know what? We actually had one and we took it out.
Because you were like, that's too obscure.
Yeah, well, that was it. This is the thing, when we were constructing our things, we just do whatever we think's funny, right? So that's why we've got a sketch of Michael McDonald's, which is basically Michael McDonald running a McDonald's fast food restaurant.
Right.
And, oh, wackiness, how that would all go together.
How does it go down?
Well, there's a lot of singing. So that's...
So does he places the order in song?
Yes.
Holding the ear?
Basically, once we had the concept...
Got a double cheeseburger for you.
Almost exactly like that. There you go.
Great.
once we came up with the concept, the thing basically wrote itself. And we were concerned about, like, you know what? We're fans of kitsch 70s music, but is everyone else really going to get the smooth and dulcet tones of Michael McDonald? of the white-haired Michael McDonald? And we thought... You know what? Maybe people won't remember who he is exactly, but they'll certainly remember these songs.
Right.
And I think eventually they'll sort of wrap their head around to it. Yeah, there's another sketch where, you know, we make basically a sketch that almost is entirely Total Recall references. Where once again, is like, are people going to get this? And then we realize it's like, it's the lines that everyone remembers from it, and it's also the sketch is about referencing something that people... don't really reference anymore, and so it is quite meta, but I think it all comes around together in the end that the people are going to, oh yes, I vaguely remember that, and that makes me giggle.
Well, so. It's like my...
So this show is for people over 25.
Yeah, but my parents saw it, and as much as they didn't understand what the references were, they understood that they were funny, and so they were laughing just as much as everybody else. So I think that's the thing, is that if you understand where we're coming from, you're going to love it, and if you have no idea where we're coming from, I think you're going to love it as well.
Thanks.
So it all works.
Well, it's like my favorite 30 Rock jokes of all time is where like Liz Lemon shows up to the writer's room and she was just like, we need to like bring out our A1 material and like we really need to knock it out of the park, like shows up for cancellation and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just sort of like, I cannot stress enough, no more Krang jokes. Nobody knows who Krang is, and it's a waste of time on a nationally syndicated show to talk about Krang.
He's
no more Krang jokes.
But, well, he is the orange alien that sits inside the body. He's pink, sorry, yes. Who sits in this inside this sort of odd
robot
construct that he with his tentacles, he manipulates. And, of course, he is the arch nemesis of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't think he's the arch nemesis.
Well, Shredder,
really.
Shredder
is the arch nemesis.
It's interesting. I started reading the TMNT comic books, like from 1987, the original. Shredder gets killed in the very first issue. In issue one,
he comes back though.
Spoiler alert!
But spoiler alert! 1987. Like, I think there has to be a statute of limitations on some of this shit. You know, like.
I believe. Like, guess what? Romeo and Juliet die at the end.
No.
I remember somebody gave me shit when I mentioned that King Kong dies at the end of the Peter Jackson's movie, and maybe they
changed it, Kyle.
Yeah, or that everyone survives in Apollo 13. I'm like, there's some things that I think we have to let go.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that Darth Vader is the father of both Luke
Darth
and Leia.
Who?
Oh God! You're so young, female Walter.
It's actually the same age as regular Walter. But anyway,
I was shocked by this the other day. I realized I'm almost 35 years old, and I thought to myself, "When the fuck did that happen?" And I think it was around the time that I started walking with a cane.
I was gonna be like, when your body broke down for no good reason, now you need a cane.
For crossing the street, an integral part of my body just snapped in two just cause. So,
5 years left before that starts happening. I'm just like,
damn it, I need to renew
tumble
you.
Down the stage.
Yeah.
And so, how was the crippling? You just, all acts now have a cane? Like yeah. All your bits?
Yeah, that's basically
so
how
are you
it works.
Crippled Michael McDonald or you're not Michael McDonald?
I am a clone of Michael McDonald and I am a crippled clone of Michael McDonald that is somewhat deformed.
That would make sense though.
Yeah.
You know, if they haven't perfected it yet.
Well, that's it. It's like House of Cosby's. Not all of them came out straight, you know, like every 10th one had superpowers. So I'm one of the ones in between that doesn't work out so well and just says Theo a lot, you know.
Theo Rudy.
Yeah, there
Theo.
You go. Yeah. Another great show canceled before its time.
House of Cosby's.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What was it with... this is great for our listeners.
Yes.
But if you're into any Channel 101 and the subsequent offshoot of Acceptable TV...
Yes.
Like, Nip and I have just been on Who's Gonna Train Me
yeah.
all the time. Just like randomly in conversations we're like... But I just have one question. Who's gonna train me? Who's gonna train me? We brought back this character from the dead.
Can I say
he's going
to
train me?
I'm a big fan of Operation Kitten Calendar. That show had some legs to it.
Not cute enough.
Yeah. Wow. We're not even talking about Channel 101. We're talking about Acceptable TV. We're really pushing the boundaries of what the audience will even understand the fuck we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a fan of Channel 101...
Let me explain what Channel 101 is. Do you know Community? Okay, so Community, the guy...
Dan Harmon.
Yeah. Right.
He did Channel 101.
Yeah.
But then he also got another show on VH1 called Acceptable TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There
so.
You go.
Whatever. Our listeners all know who
we
Dan Harmon
is. We could do this for hours.
It's true. Big Community news. I think the first time in showbiz history that a showrunner has been fired and rehired.
Oh, rehired.
He's,
okay,
he's
I didn't realize that.
Five.
So not like Crick Faluzzi, where they just like took his show away from him completely. Oh no, wait a second. Crick Faluzzi was rehired back onto Ren and Stimpy. So there you go. The second time in history that this has happened.
Is he rehired? I thought
yeah,
that he just he just took it back later.
Oh maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
so maybe
it,
you're right.
Yeah, no, this is while the show was in its initial run.
Oh, you're right. Okay, that's
so
true.
So that's what I'm saying. He got it.
To be fair,
back.
Though, TV's going strange these days because you've got a show like Family Guy that was canceled not once but twice and managed to come back.
And have multiple spinoffs.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. Like, it's got like 3 or 4 spinoffs, too. Yeah, it's pretty impressive, actually, for a show that was canceled twice.
Yeah. I mean, you have The Simpsons, which has never been canceled, but is older than...
Dirt.
Everything.
Yeah. Holy crap! It's older than female Walter.
No.
That's
no.
Okay. Almost.
Female Walter was like 2.
Maybe if we wait a little while, it will somehow become older than female. Is that possible? We should ask Stephen Hawking. Maybe he can explain this. Actually,
stasis.
Well, I think.
No, if she travels through space or something.
What we'll have to do is we'll have to take The Simpsons and put it in a spaceship that travels round in the atmosphere very quickly, and then. Through
no, there's something about faster than light travel where you're not aging at the same speed, right?
Exactly. So that's the only way to make that work.
So no, we need to make her go faster than light so that she starts aging slower than The Simpsons.
Isn't it that you age faster because you're going faster?
No, you age slower. You're aging faster than traveling faster than light, so you're moving faster than time.
This does seem though like an elaborate process just to get that one joke to work.
What season are they on?
Yeah.
What season are they on?
I don't know.
They're like
23, 24.
Something like that?
Yeah. It's very close. You might be younger than The Simpsons if you account for the Tracy Ullman shorts.
There you go.
So
it's astounding, by the way. If you go back and watch those Tracy Ullman shorts, look at that and then consider like the highlight of The Simpsons days. And those two things could not be further apart. Those Tracy Ullman shorts are terrible.
Yeah.
They're fucking horrible.
They're just like, look at the dad, he's lazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm
Homer voice.
I was like, was that comedy in the 80s?
Yeah, and the Homer voice is absolutely wretched. By the same guy who did it, like, it was just like, took a shitty voice and made it into
an iconic
voice. Yeah.
I'm Homer and I'm tired.
It kind of sounds like Fiona Walter, actually.
The old Simpsons are, like you said, shitty. But I mean, I feel like a lot of comedy in the late 80s, early 90s was not really, like, the SNL cast wasn't that good.
Chris Elliott had a primetime TV show called Get a Life it's probably one of the most horrible things ever captured on celluloid. It's amazing what the 80s produced.
So are you going to...
Alan Ruck had a sitcom for a season where that was, like, the concept of it was that they were producing a show... called Here's Looking at You that was kind of like candid camera. So it was like a show within a show, and Heather Locklear was in it.
What the fuck?
I made the mistake when watching Game of Thrones the other day. I thought for the entire first season that Aidan Gillen was Alan Ruck. Oh my god, have I done it again? Am I muting myself again?
No.
Should I press the button in order to engage the
we're
red
good.
Recording
we're
good.
Light?
We're good. I'm just doing
Keep
a spot
paranoid.
Check.
Okay.
I'm paranoid after I don't. I really don't want to do this interview for a third time.
So tell us about your show for the third time.
Can I tell you? Neither do I. So that's fair. I think we're all on the same page here.
The 80s were a terrible time for comedy.
Yes.
Nothing good came.
Except for your show.
Oh, yes. Well,
except for material to make fun of 20 years later.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think it's right for... I mean, our poster's basically Miami Vice. That's it. You know,
right.
we decided...
The Purple Rain, he said.
It has the
Miami
Purple
Vice
Rain...
Miami Vice Purple Rain font.
There you go. And we're a bunch of dudes, you know, hanging out in a Corvette and just driving down a Miami highway. Yeah. Like we're wont to do, because that's and you know wearing
nobody has socks
and wearing no and wearing sports jackets as well. So I think you know
so hot
and blast in the A track. No,
right.
Wait a second. It would be the AM
cassettes.
AM FM cassette radio.
Hi fi.
There you go. It'd
be the hi fi.
Yeah, there you go.
Sarah, female Walter, your big time closing question.
What other Fringe shows are you going to see?
What other Fringe shows? Just off the top of my head.
Weird
not
Leprechaun
like this is a list
it?
That I've said beforehand. I'm going to say...
One might say 20 minutes ago.
I'm going to say... I'm teching a whole bunch of shows at the Montreal Improv, and what I saw there was really, really fun-looking stuff. Dan Bingham show, Now That I Have Your Attention. That one looks really good to me. Mm-hmm. Annoying Visitor by Yanomi
Japanese
and
thing.
Cherry Typhoon. The most Japanese thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I can tell you, they're in the middle of doing the show, and they make a noise for the every time the door opens and closes. You hear ding, dong, dong, and I swear to God, it sounds just like that thing from Akira, right? Like the doll's polyphony. And I actually told them, and they're like, "Wow, my God!" And I started playing it for them, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that sounds exactly like that." So I don't know if all doorbells in Japan sound like Akira or something. I don't know. It's very cultural, but yeah, they sing and they dance. They're speaking in English, French, and Japanese. It is by far the weirdest thing I've ever seen at the Fringe. And then also the one I'm really excited for seeing is Peter and Chris. That's also a sketch comedy. They're from BC. Best show I saw last year.
Not booing Peter and Chris, I'm just booing BC.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Peter and Chris are fine.
Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, it was their show was the best I saw last year, and so I've got high hopes.
Excited for their latest.
Yeah, exactly for what they're doing. I think it's medieval on some level. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
saw
know
that
about
sword
it.
Thing.
Yeah.
I was like,
D&D.
Anyway, that's what I want to see. Cool. Oh, and I've also heard good things about a show called Get Off the Stage Presents All the Golden Hits playing at Montreal Improv. I hear great things, and I hear that they're very attractive men. That are playing in that show. That
I heard it's a one man show with
cardboard cutouts.
You might have heard wrong. I understand there are in fact three people that are in there.
I don't even know if we made that joke on the stake.
It's a good question. I guess we'll just leave that to the annals of history.
Exactly. All right, thanks for coming. Thanks for doing the.
All right, thank you.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Is that your sign off phrase? All right,
yes,
sweet.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Wait a second. Is that somehow relating to the thing from SNL where
somehow
is playing Mulk Wahlberg?
It's Amber's playing
Wahlberg.
That's
what I do for Walter.
Okay,
when I see him.
I see.
Like Walter's
like,
mother
hey,
for
Walter.
Me is
that's
Walter.
Your, that's your Walter.
What are you doing,
I see.
Walter?
Now remember, this is
uncanny impersonation
it's
of Walter Daly.
Walter.
It's weird though because this character that Sarah has invented is not Walter. It's like Walter's best friend or something.
No, it's
like,
Walter's mother.
I think
why
it's
would Walter's mother say
to Walter's mother because she's crazy.
I see.
You have a strange comedic sense.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
I think that like to me. When she does that voice, it's her being like that kid that lives next to Walter that like Walter doesn't really like isn't really friends with.
The way I see it, I think it's kind of like Walter's arch nemesis that he's not even aware exists, right? That has been sitting in a basement like stewing and just plotting his downfall.
Hey,
you know, like
exactly,
and he has no idea that this is going on or that he's upset this person in
stop
any way.
Stop telling everyone my secret.
I'm sorry.
This actually
can
came
we censor this episode so that Walter isn't aware of this?
No.
All right.
If
well,
we have like a quick second, I'll tell you what the story is. If not, I can just tell him.
You can just tell him now. We're just gonna
so basically, he was really drunk walking the streets of the world's largest garage sale.
Oh, yes.
And just started calling Walter because he kept getting distracted at looking at like knives and shit.
Yep.
So I was like, Walter!
I want to do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And I was like, hey, Walter! And then since then, it stuck. And that is the voice.
It's comedic gold. So
this was Go Fringe Yourself.
All right.
Take two. Because of Kyle's ineptitude, despite the fact that he's been in multiple shows.
The red recording light is good. I'll press the button.
Damn it. Thanks for coming out, Kyle.
Thank you.
Break a link.
Cheers.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?